Welcome back to Jeff Buckley, Grace Around the World. I'm Mark Abuzahab. Jeff Buckley signed with Columbia Records because he was interested in being developed as an artist, just as Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, and others had done on the label. He did not want to end up a one-hit wonder, even removing a song from Grace that the label planned on releasing to the public as a single. He also didn't want to be presented as a dreamboat, despite his good looks. Laurie Trombley worked for Jeff in those days and also co-directed and co-produced the documentary Amazing Grace, Jeff Buckley.
I think it was like 17 magazine or like one of the teen girl magazines were like pitching Sony a story, and he had got wind of it and he was like, what? No way. He's like, these girls can't even get into my shows. So he like didn't shave for a week, you know, just to show them like, I'm not going to take a shower. I will not be your dreamboat.
Guitarist Michael Ty.
The relationship that he had with fame and desires for fame and desires not to be famous and to like go back to something anonymous, you know, that was, I think, very tumultuous inside of himself, or he had very conflicting feelings about that.
One thing Jeff did every day on tour was talk to the press for hours.
He was a journalist delight.
Gene Bowen was tour manager.
We would stack them up, and the interview may not have even discussed Grace at all. It might have discussed French wines or something, you know, and that was the beauty. And so he could do 6 or 7 hours of interviews and accomplish what I guess was needed, but also get in there other stuff that he was interested in talking about on a given day.
Many times the topics were very high-minded. Singer, songwriter, and Jeff's friend, Brenda Kahn.
You kind of go on and on about these very sort of lofty ideals, right? But he would get kind of, not preachy, but just idealistic, I think. But then once you get to know him, you're like, he really believes it. You know, he really believes everyone should, you know, be loved and everyone should be happy and like, you know, or whatever. Just, he really cared. He really cared about people, you know. And he had a very intense life, you know. He had all the stuff that happened with his dad, and, you know, working through that, I think, was part of his life's work, and finding himself and figuring out who he was and, you know, who he wanted to be. In a way, it made him great. Like, he was forced to define himself, and I think that served him really well.
Tour manager Gene Bowen saw Jeff deal with that.
Tim Buckley fans in the front row who were shouting requests of Tim Buckley material. And finally, you know, after about a half hour, he gave in and he said, here's one. And he played a song from his dad. And then when we were exiting the venue, there they were. They were just badgering him. And this woman just kept going on and on about his dad. And he said, look, you know, I gave you the song and here. And he took this woman's head and he kissed her, where I thought he was going to crush her skull. And he smooched her and said, there, that's as much as I can give you. Now go, leave me alone. So in that respect, you know, I tip my hat that he didn't lose it. He didn't choke her. He gave her the biggest kiss that probably ached for days and walked away.
There's a flaming red arise on the screams I made.
What is love? Where is happiness? What is life? Where is peace? Where will I find the strength to break my own legs? Tell me, where is the love in what your prophet has said? Man, it sounds to me just like a prison for the broken dead.
Eternal Life, performed live by Jeff Buckley and band in London. I'm Mark Abuzahab, and you're listening to Jeff Buckley, Grace Around the World. Touring life can be fun, but also a lot of drudgery. Jeff Buckley and crew found ways to keep spirits up.
Soundcheck were the funniest times with Jeff Buckley.
Gene Bowen was tour manager.
Soundchecks usually consisted of a Journey song, a Rush song, a Kiss song, usually something from Cher, Air Supply, definitely Guns N' Roses, because he could do Axl Rose like no one else. And that was soundcheck. And soundcheck would be this just a laugh. It would be him covering. And whether he was acting out Bugs Bunny or a cartoon like no other, or he could do a 78 record and you would know that you weren't listening to a 78 record.
And there was the ever-present Jeff Buckley humor.
Hallelujah. I was just house-sitting for a friend, watching her cats while she was away, and I got into her whiskey and got into her record collection, and there was this, John Cale's version of Hallelujah. And there are Leonard Cohen enthusiasts, and it's not because of Leonard that I did the song, it's simply because of the song and because of the verses. I'm just in there somewhere. I have no blood-bound allegiance to Leonard, although I have incredible admiration and real great love for his work, really just very personal reasons for the choices, actually, and not what you might think, but I'm happy to explain, but it's pretty boring, actually.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Well, there was a time when you let me know what's really going on below. But now you never show that to me, do you? I remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath you drew. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold, it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, performed live by Jeff Buckley and band in Japan.
Sayonara.
After the long tour ended, Jeff began work on a new record in Memphis. Gene Bowen went to Memphis a little while later.
you know, a lot of things had taken place in his life. He got a bicycle. he got a driver's license. He had started volunteering at the Memphis Zoo, which was down the street from where he was living, in the White Tiger exhibit. You know, he had started doing that. You know, he had struck relationships with Robert Gordon, the writer, who lived down the street from him. He was at his house eating a lot, you know. He was kind of carving out just like this normal lifestyle for himself and friends, and it wasn't all the trappings in New York and stuff. And then Barristers became like this residency or this place that he would go to, and that kind of was it. He had these little activities he was doing a day and writing and stuff, and then Barristers was kind of like his weekly outing. Go play, and then it became this thing where people were traveling down there from all over the country to see him and talk to him.
On May 29th, 1997, Jeff decided to take a swim in the notoriously calm-looking Wolf River Marina. An eyewitness lost sight of him in the wake of a passing river tugboat. His body was found several days later. Jeff's friend, Brenda Kahn.
I mean, when he died, it was like every person who had ever met him felt like their best friend had died. And that's what he engendered in his own self and by proxy in other people.
Even people who didn't know him personally. When making their documentary, Laurie Trombley and Nyla Adams asked to hear from people who were touched by Jeff's music.
It was amazing. We posted an ad on the official site and we got like 3,000 replies and like hard copies to a P.O. box that we opened. Of music, paintings, photography, poetry, ceramics, any jewelry.
Biographer David Brown.
He's seen now as someone not just who made kind of timeless music, because Grace does not necessarily sound like a 1994 album. It could have been made now. And he's also seen as someone who had in his brief career a lot of integrity, kind of stuck to his vision, you know, butted heads with his record company almost every step of the way to get what he wanted. And, you know, that combination has really made for a pretty profound kind of legend, which Jeff himself might have laughed at because he was always sort of down on this idea of, you know, dead rock stars being immortalized and certainly, you know, yet another deeply ironic aspect of his life. But, you know, for a lot of people, he really does embody this sort of purity in music and this integrity and kind of breadth of influences. And you know, and you see it in the breadth of people who've been influenced by him, whether it's like, you know, some indie rock bands to some guy in American Idol to Norah Jones to Rufus Wainwright, and on and on. The range of bands who and musicians who cite him as an influence is pretty striking, pretty unusual.
Jeff Buckley, Grace Around the World, was produced by Joyride Media. Paul Chufo and Joshua Jackson are the producers. Our associate producers are Andy Kahn and Eric Mulk. All songs in this program can be found on the Columbia Legacy set, Jeff Buckley, Grace Around the World. More information on Jeff Buckley can be found on jeffbuckley.com. The archive interview with Jeff Buckley is courtesy of WBCN Boston and the CBS Radio Network. Archive interviews with Michael Tye are courtesy of Once and Future Productions. More information on the video documentary Amazing Grace, Jeff Buckley, can be found at AmazingGraceJeffBuckley.com. Special thanks go to Adam Block, Steve Berkowitz, Tom Cording, Mandy Eadga, Mary Gieber, Jack Bookbinder, and Gene Bowen at Fun Palace Entertainment, James Walsh and Sheldon Steiger at Threshold Music, Laurie Trombley, Nyla Adams, and Peter Adams at Once and Future Productions, Javon Paris, Angelica Agostini, and Thomas Droge. I'm Mark Abuzahab, and thanks for listening.